we as a society are a society of impatience. We as a people are impatient. I don't just mean other people. I mean most of us, if not all of us in general, tend to be pretty impatient, myself included. We get quite frustrated or irritated about the smallest things at times. You go to the grocery store, maybe you go to the Walmart or HEB in town, you get what you need and you go to checkout and realize out of the 30 checkout lanes, there's only 2 cashiers. And you have to stand in line and wait. And you get frustrated. You get irritated. So you have to wait in line a couple of minutes. And again, we get tired of that, and we get tired so much of waiting that we at times don't even take the time at home to make our own meals. We have restaurants at just about every corner you could think of to where you don't have to make the meal yourself and go have someone make it for you. And it goes even beyond that. There's not just restaurants anymore. There's fast food restaurants to where you no longer even have to get out of your car to go inside to the restaurant. We can pull up to this big menu on this board, roll down our window, speak to someone through an intercom, pull up to another window, exchange some money, and have our food within minutes, never stepping foot outside of our car. Or if you don't even want to get out into the car and go do that, you can just call and have the food delivered to you. What about driving? You ever get irritated with someone while driving? I know you have. You get over into the fast lane and you got someone in front of you going 5 miles per hour under the speed limit. And they slow you down. You're like, come on, buddy, move over. I'm going to be home 2 minutes later because you're going 5 miles per under the speed limit. And forget about getting stuck in traffic where we actually lose hours of our time. We pretty much lose our minds. I've heard it said, people saying they prayed for patience. They prayed for patience. They recognized that they had a problem, and maybe it was in regards to little things like that, like standing in line or sitting in traffic perhaps. So they prayed for patience, and then they had kids, and they're pulling their hair out wondering, God, why are these kids driving me crazy? Well, you prayed for patience. You see, patience is a quality that we have to learn. It is a quality that we learn through experience. And often it is experience that is uncomfortable, that is not fun to deal with. And it may mean dealing with something such as struggling or muddling through something for a while. In fact, I would dare say it's almost guaranteed if we're to learn patience. How can we learn patience if we never have to be patient for anything? You can't do it. We are a society of instant gratification. When we want something, we want it now. We don't want to have to wait. That's why there's such a huge problem with debt in our country, because people don't want to have to wait until they have the money to buy something. We'll just charge it on credit. Nobody wants to wait for anything anymore. I want it, and I want it now. And for that same reason, we're also having the number of kids out of wedlock that we do have, because people do not want to wait until marriage. They want it, and they want it now. We have a saying that patience is a virtue, but unfortunately, it's not a virtue that many people have. It's certainly a quality that we should all work towards and strive for, and yes, it does require effort. Sometimes it means that we will be in situations that make us uncomfortable. But the end result of dealing with such things at times, or specifically in regards to our Christianity, will be a more seasoned soldier for Christ who can withstand even greater ordeals and greater challenges. In James chapter 1, as James begins his letter, right at the very beginning, he brings up patience. In verse 2, he says, "Brethren, or my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials." All right, this is written to Christians. So he's writing to his brethren here. He's encouraging them to count it all joy when you fall into these temptations or trials. This got touched on a little bit this morning in the lesson. You can turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12 and see a similar idea brought out. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." There should be joy. There should be joy in tribulation, joy in trials and temptations, and joy under persecutions. That sounds rather counterintuitive. Why would those things be joys? And again, Royce touched on it this morning. Why should we have joy in these things? There's a reason. We shouldn't have joy in them just for the sake of facing these things. Not simply because we're facing these struggles. You know, we don't want that stuff. You know, we were baptized into Christ. It's supposed to be easy after that, right? No, unfortunately, no, that's not the case. It will be a lot more difficult after that. You know, before we're baptized in Christ, what state are we in? We're lost. Satan doesn't have to try to win us over because we're already in his hands. But once we're baptized into Christ, that's where he really has to work on us. Because he has just lost us. He has lost us, and he has to work to get us back. So we will face much more difficult things once we become a Christian. But here in James, he doesn't just say, you'll face struggles, you'll face temptations, and be happy about it when you do. No, in the next verse, verse 3, he states why. What is the purpose? Why should you count it all joy when you do fall into these things? Verse 3 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or diverse temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Count it joy when you fall into these things, because the end result will be patience. James is encouraging them that this is really, it's a testing of your faith. It's a testing of your faith to see where you're at. And the end result will be patience when we pass through, when we work through these difficult times. You know, what is, as a testing of your faith, what does a test do? It is a measurement. It is a measurement of the current state of something. If you're in school and you take a test, it is a measurement to see how much of the material you have actually mastered, whether you know it or not, you know, whether you know this stuff or not. When you test a component on a car, what are you doing? You're testing to see if it's up to the standards that it needs to be in order to function properly. If it fails, well, you know there's a problem. You know, then there's something wrong. So here, what we have is a testing of our faith to see where we are spiritually, really, to see where we are. And these tests, it will display where we're at, and it will show us where we may need some improvement, where we need to be and in order to live up to the standard that we should be at. And that's what we see in verse 4. It said, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. Face these trials and temptations. Face these tests. Get through them. Be happy about it, because the end result will be patience, and it will be a stronger Christian than what you were before. They're going to show us where we can be at and what we can do to make us stronger. And that makes sense. It is necessary to struggle at times. We can look back just a few years ago even and see, you know, we may not face the same temptations or struggles that we faced a few years ago. Why? Because we've grown past that. We've grown past that. We don't face the same things we faced a few years ago. If we don't, that's an indicator that we're not growing. We should get stronger. We should get better. And those things shouldn't hold us down as much the farther we get or the more we grow as we mature. Another example of how these trials and testings can make us stronger can be found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. Here in verses 3 through 5, Peter's speaking of this inheritance that we have if we have been born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Right? That inheritance is promised by God to us through faith. And then in verse 6 he says, in this you rejoice. Again, going back to the idea of this inheritance that is ensured to us by God through our faith, being born again with Christ Jesus in the resurrection of the dead through Christ Jesus. All right, in this we have faith. In that we have faith, or in that we rejoice. Though, now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Same idea as in James. Sometimes it is necessary to endure hardship. Our world has the idea that pain or confrontation or conflict or resistance, having to overcome something, is a bad thing. You know, kids today, they have most things handed to them on a golden platter. They never have to struggle. They never have to have difficulties. And when they get into the real world and they face these difficulties, they don't know how to handle them because they've never had to face them before. Pain, resistance, and struggling, that can be a good thing. That promotes growth, that promotes maturity. You know, you think of it in regards to your physical body. Maybe you want to get in shape. It often requires pain. It requires suffering. It requires struggling. It requires resistance. When you want to build muscle, it requires resistance. There has to be resistance there, and it will be painful. I mean, when you're building muscle, you are literally tearing down your muscle and repairing it. That's what muscle building is. The muscle's being torn and repairing over and over and over. And that can't happen without resistance. That's the only way to do it. And if you really are dedicated to getting healthy, getting in shape, you endure that. Even though it may be uncomfortable for a little while, in a sense, you have to be patient. Those changes aren't going to come overnight. You're not going to go have one workout session and then the next day be on the cover of a magazine. Not going to happen. Change takes time. It takes patience. It takes effort. And you may say, in a sense, you may say you are happy or joyous about that pain, that soreness that you feel, because you know it means you're doing something. You're on the right path. That's what we see here in James and 1 Peter. It is necessary at times to be grieved by various trials. Again, in verse 6 of 1 Peter, why? Verse 7 says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perished, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the best ways to test the purity of gold or to make gold even more pure is by fire. It's by fire. You melt it down and any of the impurities will be separated out of the gold. And the end result of that gold will be a far more pure form of gold than what was before that fire, before being melted down. And that's what is being said here, that these trials are for our faith. They are a testing ground for us to see the genuineness of our faith. How pure is our faith really? And then after these trials, we should have a more pure form of faith than before. But as with the comparisons earlier and with this comparison here, it may not always be easy. Sometimes we are very well aware of what we may struggle with. You know, take, for example, the little things, standing in line at a grocery store or sitting in traffic. Those are small things, but we may be aware that, you know, that's an issue. My mind starts wandering and I start getting some very not pleasant thoughts about these people. Little things, but sometimes we don't see exactly where these ideas or where we may struggle with. But those smaller things, though, they can be an indicator of a larger problem, and it could be something as a lack of love on our part, a lack of love for mankind in general. And we get so upset that sometimes we just want to lash out. We just want to lash out at them, get out of the way. That's an indicator of a problem in our heart, and we need to get our mind right. Other times, we may face difficulties from the place we would least expect it, maybe here. Maybe we face difficulties of being patient with people here. You know, perhaps you get frustrated with individuals, maybe question after question or comment, some erroneous statement that gets thrown out, and you get frustrated saying, where is that coming from? You should know better than that. You know, you've been here X number of years. You should know that by now. And we get frustrated at times. But Paul speaks of this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. He speaks in his charge to Timothy, really verse 2, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching or long suffering. He charges Timothy, teach, be ready to reprove, be ready to rebuke, be ready to exhort, and do these things. But be patient. Be patient in all that you do, in the rebuking, in the reproving, in the exhortation. Be patient. Always be patient. We need to be patient with one another. He tells Timothy, expose the error, reprove it, rebuke it, correct this error, be courageous, but do it with complete patience in your teaching. It doesn't say turn a blind eye to if there's an issue that arises. Don't ignore the issue, but handle it with patience. Again, as with our example with our physical bodies, change isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. Some of these things have to be worked out over time. Be patient. Take time to study issues. Change is a difficult thing. Not everyone's on the same level. We're all, as Royce has mentioned, we're all on different levels. We all have been given different abilities and different qualities, and we all have different levels at which we learn and different degrees to which we learn at, or different speeds that we learn at. We need to be patient with one another. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13 goes right along with this. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each one as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. Bear one another. May not always be easy. And then Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 goes right along with this verse too. These verses in Colossians. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are to strive to maintain unity with one another in the bond of love, unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And these qualities, when you look at those two areas in Colossians and Ephesians, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 4, these qualities that are mentioned, a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, gentleness, they're all things we have to work at, all of those. I mean, we may have had them when we were children. Maybe we do have those, and then we unlearn them along the way as we grow up in the world and become involved in the world. We have to relearn those things. We have to practice those things. They're not going to just instantly be there, and we're going to be perfect at them. We have to work at having compassionate hearts. We have to work at displaying kindness and humility and meekness and patience and gentleness. Again, it may not always be easy, it may be difficult, but the end result will be a better spiritually minded person for our own good, but also as a better servant of Christ in order to help our fellow brethren and others out in the world as well. While we may have to endure such things, at times we may be on the other end of that aspect. Maybe we get frustrated with somebody, we just get tired of some things. We get irritated with one another, but we may be at the other end of that at times. Maybe we're the ones that are have an issue. Maybe we're the ones that need reproving, or we need to be rebuked. Maybe that's one of us at a time. And that can be a difficult situation as well, when I may be the one in error, or you, and it can be very difficult. People don't like being questioned. People don't like hearing that they're wrong. No matter how nicely you try to do it, it's not a fun thing to deal with. And that also at times requires patience when it is yourself. It requires patience with those trying to reprove or rebuke or exhort you. We're often, I've heard it said, why did God give us 2 ears and one mouth? Because we should listen twice as much as we speak. I think that's a very good principle. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I think that's a good idea. At times, that is generally good advice. Listen, be patient. Examine what the Word of God says. Digest it. Take time to examine it. Don't get mad. Don't fly off the handle. As we've been looking at the qualities of an elder, don't be quick to anger. Don't be quick to get upset. Be patient. Examine what does God's Word say. We have to learn patience. As we go through this life as Christians, as we go down this road, we have to learn patience. Again, it's a long road. It's a lifelong commitment, as we looked at in our Bible class this morning. We're getting to chapter 2 of Titus with the older men and older women. You can't just stop. You can't just give up at a certain age. You have to keep going. Sometimes that road is bumpy. It's got some potholes in it. It's a rough road, but we have to keep going. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 says, And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through the end. Hope until the end. Don't be sluggish, but imitators instead, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. The Hebrews writer here, he then goes on to speak of Abraham, and how God made promises to Abraham that his seed would be multiplied. But Abraham had to wait. Abraham had to wait quite a while before that would happen. He had to be patient in order to obtain that promise, because it took a while for God to bring forth that promise to fruition. We have a promise of God, but we have to be patient. James 5 reiterates that idea. Starting in verse 7, James 5, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and later rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." We have a promise. The Lord is coming again. We have to be patient, though. We have to be patient and wait for that. And again, as he mentions there, as the farmers wait for the early and latter rains, that in that area of the world, that's what it is. They get one time of year, in the early part of the year, they get a rain, and then the latter part of the year, they get another part of the rain. And they have to be patient. They have to wait for that. And then he speaks of the prophets and Job. You go through the Old Testament, prophets time and time again were persecuted and mistreated and abused. They were mocked, beaten, and killed. And yet they were patient. He turns to Job, and if you're familiar with Job, which I know you are, you know everything that Job had to deal with, and yet he was patient. His wife wanted him to curse God and die. His friends were pretty miserable at comforting him, and yet Job was patient. It wasn't easy in either of those examples, but what was the answer in each case when they were struggling, when we are struggling? What's the answer for us? You drop down to verse 13, after he goes through this, you know, this idea of being patient about the prophets and Job. Job, in verse 11, when you drop down to verse 13, though, we see what the answer is. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Let him pray. Pray to the Lord and get into God's Word. You know, we often think we have advanced so far as people. From the ancient times of even in Scripture, we think we're so much more advanced. We deal with so much more than them. They were simple minded folk. They didn't understand all the things we deal with. In Ecclesiastes 1:9, though, it says, "What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." From the beginning of Scripture to the end, again, as Royce mentioned, men are being tempted to do things. Christ Himself was tempted, and the answer, as He put it, and as Scripture puts it, Christ went to the Word of God. It is written. That needs to be our answer too. Get into God's Word. We can learn a lot from the examples of those in Scripture on how they handled situations, whether they did it incorrectly or correctly. When they did it incorrectly, well, we know that's not the way to do it. And when they handled it correctly, when they went to God, which is what we see in the Old Testament, when we look at those examples of men such as David, they would go to God and they would handle it correctly. They would pray to God. And we can learn a lot from that. If we get back to our original text in James 1, we can look at verses 2 through 4. Or we looked at verses 2 through 4, and then we can get to verse 5 of James 1. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously or liberally to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." We have that place to go when we struggle. We have a place to go when we need help. We can go to the Father in prayer. And we can learn from His Word. If there's anything we can do for you, we're here for you to help as well. We're here to help you. That's one of the great things about the Lord's church. We have one another that we can rely upon and be there for one another. And we can know our brothers and sisters will be there for us. I'll leave you with one more passage. It's one you're familiar with. Even the children may know it. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law." You can drop down to verse 25 from there. It says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." This is the fruit of the Spirit. If we claim to be followers of Christ, if we claim to walk in the Spirit, then these are qualities we should strive for. These are qualities we must learn, we must display, and we must practice. But again, they take effort, they take time, they take patience, they take us diligence on our part to work towards them. If you have been struggling or in need of guidance or help, or if you want to learn more about what you've heard this evening, we're here to help in that regard. We do not know how long we may have here on this earth. We know that just as we're called to be patient, we're called to be long-suffering. We know also that the Lord is long-suffering towards us. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing or not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is waiting patiently, but we also know that his patience will run out. The day is coming when his patience will run out and judgment will be at hand. And if you drop down in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, he gets through that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He is waiting for us long-suffering. But you get to verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. God is long-suffering, but that patience will run out. The day of the Lord is coming. All will be burned up, the earth itself and the works therein. We don't know when that day will come. It could be 5 minutes from now. It could be 5 days from now. It could be 5 years or 50 years, 500 years. We do not know. We also do not know how long each of us have here on earth personally. Each of us, our lives will come to an end at some point, and once that time comes, that is it. We only have one chance to get this right, get our lives right with God. There's no better time to do so than now. If you have any need, won't you come while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.